from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Good to be back in the saddle here in D.C. Coming up on this Monday edition, fireworks following the G7 summit, the annual group of seven, the meeting, and it's drawing various reactions. We're going to talk about that. And just hours from now, a historic meeting between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Their face-to-face meeting is taking place in Singapore beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. I want to get the analysis of our good friend Congressman Ted Poe of Texas on that in just a moment. And we'll actually go all the way to Singapore to talk with David Curry, president of Open Doors USA. He is there advocating for religious freedom in North Korea. North Korea being one of the top abuser of religious freedom, persecuting Christians. Horrific what they're doing. We're going to talk about that with David Curry. Also, California's Senate Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing for AB 2943 tomorrow. Now, this is a bill. So we've talked about it several times. It passed the House, the Assembly. It's in the Senate. It's a bill that would outlaw any material or initiatives that would advocate for change of one's chosen sexual orientation, even if they choose to do so. For adults, Christian leaders will rally at the state capitol to fight for the freedom of all Californians to live out their faith and pursue the counseling of their choice. California Family Council CEO Jonathan Keller will be here to tell us about it. And earlier today, I was at the White House and met with the Vice President, Vice President Pence. And one of the items we discussed was the need for Christians to be praying for the president tonight as he meets with Kim Jong-un. We'll talk about that with Ronnie Floyd, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who is actually in Dallas for the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist. He is the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas and president of the National Day of Prayer. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. If you miss anything on your way home, check it all out later at TonyPerkins.com. All right, President Trump called out Canada's trade policies toward the United States at the G7 summit and also suggested Russia should be allowed to rejoin the group. And, of course, there's this long-anticipated off-again, on-again meeting that is taking place this evening between North Korea's Kim Jong-un and President Trump. With us now is Congressman Ted Poe. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas. He serves on the House Committee on the Judiciary and the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tony. Always good to talk to you.
Well, Ted, let's start with the president ruffled a few feathers at the G7 summit. Any surprises there?
I was surprised that so many of the other leaders of foreign countries did not understand that Trump's philosophy is America first. He campaigned on America first. He's always promoted America first, both domestically and in foreign affairs. And I think now, finally, the other members of the G7 realize he means it. He's going to do what he thinks is best for America. It irritated some of our, especially the Canadians, and President Trump, as we all know, did not appreciate these, as they have said, the backstabbing of the President Trump when he was there. So we will see what happens. The Canadians have a tremendously high tariff on some American goods, such as milk, 270% tariff on American goods. And just one other statistic, the World Trade Organization reports that the countries that charge more than 15%, the United States is the lowest. We have 2.8% tariffs. And Canadians, they're 7.1%. So I think those were the numbers the president was looking at when he was talking to, especially the Canadians, that their tariffs really aren't they have high tariffs, and there's not really free trade between the United States and Canada. And he wants to equalize the trade between the two countries. I'm a free trader. I believe in free trade. But the president, it's free trade, but fair trade is the way that the president sees it.
You know, it's an interesting point that you make, Congressman Poe, that this president, many of these world leaders don't know how to take him because he actually is doing what he said he was going to do. And certainly in the last, you know, from the last administration, that's an anomaly. And so when the guy says, look, I'm about America first, I'm going to promote America. Now, I want to work out deals that are good for everybody. But bottom line, I'm here for America. That's new on the world stage.
Absolutely, it is. The last administration, their philosophy was not America first. I think it was some other philosophy. Maybe what's best for the world was the philosophy of the last administration. And the president, unlike many people across the world who are politicians, they campaign on one thing and they do something else when they get elected. President Trump
right.
has always said America first, and he is fulfilling that campaign promise. That's why he got elected. That's how he got elected, campaigning on that.
Well, let's talk about how that transitions, you know, from the G7 where he, you know, he left there to go to Singapore for the meeting with the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I personally take it as he's going there, I think, in a position of strength. He is showing that he is not going to be a lapdog for any of the world leaders, doesn't matter how many of them join together, doesn't matter how strong their opinions are collectively. He is going to advocate what's best for America. Do you think he enters this this conversation that begins tonight in a position of strength that could influence the outcome of the choices that the North Korean dictator makes?
Absolutely, Tony. He is has the strength to lead in this endeavor. Looking at it from the North Koreans' point of view, for 60 years, the North Koreans, the dictators, the grandfather, the father, and now Kim Jong-un, have always played the West. They have always promised for years, we will get rid of our nuclear weapon capability, but while we're doing that, you need to send us some money. And we will mm-hmm. We won't develop nuclear weapons. Well, the West sent money to North Korea, and they kept developing their nuclear weapons. I think Kim may have thought that, well, there's just another president of the United States that I can convince to send us money and not get rid of my nuclear weapons. I think now he believes President Trump when he says no sanctions aren't going to be lifted until after you have stopped your development, and we have inspected and know that you have no nuclear weapon capability. I think Kim believes that, and President Trump has said we start with that premise. And now that we're going to have that meeting, and I think the president will communicate that to Kim. I don't think this will be the last meeting, but I think I admire the president for meeting with him. It's better for world leaders to meet together than to start firing missiles at each other. And I think he's doing that. I admire him for doing it. But Kim knows where President Trump stands and America stands on this issue. No nuclear weapons.
I mean, this is significant in the fact that we could have a peaceful revolution, if you will, to one of the most repressive regimes on the face of the planet today. If the president can convince Kim Jong-un to stop not only the nuclear proliferation through his program, but the human rights abuses that are taking place in North Korea, the persecution of Christians, the gulags that are there. And I know the vice president said today, is reiterating what the president had already said, that those will be issues discussed, the human rights record. I mean, this could be very significant, taking on one of the most repressive regimes in the world, if the president can convince him to do what is right by his people. We could see a kind of a domino effect, I think, with some of these other repressive governments.
You're right, Tony. The number one issue, of course, is the nuclear weapon capability. I do believe the president will say, by the way, you can't be treating people in your own country the way you treat them. I think it's the number one brutal regime in the world on human rights abuses across the board. So those are both of the issues. That Kim comes from a point of view of he wants to stay in power. That is his goal.
Right.
He does not want to have happen to him what happened to Omar Gaddafi. And I think that is the only issue that he is really concerned about, staying in power, keeping the regime, and hopefully he will work with us to get rid of those weapons, get rid of the human rights abuses, and make it for a stable, stabler world. We know that North Korea is working with that other terrorist state, Iran, on nuclear weapons and also on intercontinental ballistic missiles. So I think this is going to be good. But I do believe it's the first of more than this is not the only meeting. I think this is just the first meeting.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, my guest, discussing the president's meeting that takes place in Singapore, 9 p.m. Eastern time, is when he will sit down with Kim Jong-un to begin their discussions. I mean, when you look, and I know that from your vantage point in Congress and the committees, the foreign affairs committees you sit on, that North Korea is in bad shape. Economically, they're in bad shape. You know, it's only through the repressive power, I think, that he's able to maintain control. And so it's to his advantage to, you know, bring their country along in relationship with the rest of the world, lifting some of these sanctions and allowing them to grow an economy if they can. I think that's to his benefit. I think he may be at a point of realizing that.
Yes, the sanctions have worked. They've crippled the economy. He has spent what money he has. He spends all on weapons. Therefore, the one reason why the people are starving in North Korea and why they're running away, escaping from the dictatorship. But the sanctions have brought him to the table. They do work, and maybe he realizes, I hope, that the best thing for him and the people is to peacefully join the rest of the world in its way that it has diplomatic relations with folks. And as a side note, I hope that eventually that there will be a treaty signed between North Korea and the United States and South Korea on ending the war. You know, the Korean War is not over. It's just a ceasefire.
Right.
And so long-term, maybe they can there will be a treaty to develop relations between the two Koreas so that they can have trade and have cross-border travel between the people. So all of that's going to start hopefully tonight, and I think President Trump will let Mr. Kim understand where the United States is and really what's best for his country as well is to get rid of the nuclear weapons, get rid of human rights abuses in his country, and pursue peace. He wants to stay in power. That's the key.
Well, without question, it is a historic event that is taking place, and hopefully it will be one that will bring, you know, hope and help to the people who are suffering under the human rights abuses of that administration. But I'm hopeful a domino effect around the world. Congressman Ted Poe, as always, thanks for joining us. Glad to talk with you and appreciate you being here. It's Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, 2nd Congressional District. And by the way, folks, we're going to talk more about this later with Dr. Ronnie Floyd. But look, you can be involved in this. You can be praying. You can be praying. We're going to talk about what needs to be the focus of our prayers next with Dr. David Curry. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. In Singapore, it is actually 5:22 a.m., 12 hours ahead of us here on the East Coast. It's going to be a historic event taking place here in just a few hours as President Donald Trump meets with Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. Now, many leaders, myself included, have called upon the president to address the human rights atrocities that have occurred in North Korea. Earlier today, I met with the vice president, and he said that that was on the list of things to discuss, as president focusing on the dismantlement of the nuclear program that North Korea has, but also a recognition of the fact that this is one of the most repressive regimes in the world today. Well, joining us now is David Curry. He is president of Open Doors USA. He is actually in Singapore advocating for religious freedom for North Koreans. David, for the 17th consecutive year, North Korea is the number one most dangerous place to be a Christian, according to the report that your organization, Open Doors, puts out. So, David, thanks so much for joining us this early in the morning there in Singapore.
It's always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners. Thank you, Tony.
David, I want our listeners to have some understanding of, you know, we talk about persecution, and of course we see some of that here in this country, but I mean, it's losing a job, a negative social media post. That's not what we're talking about in North Korea. We're talking about gulags. We're talking about Christians who are sent away to these prison camps that their life expectancy is just counted, you know, in 2 or 3 years, given the harsh treatment that they face.
That's right. I mean, it's everything across the board. It's the use of a police state to crack down on people who want to practice their individual right to worship. It's a regime that thinks of themselves as God, and it's forcing compliance and trying to indoctrinate every level of society. And then the punishments, as you said, are extreme. The UN has documented these. Open Doors has documented them. And we want people to understand that Christians, in all of the inhumanity that's happened in North Korea over since the mid-40s, Christians are the number one enemy of the state. We need to be in prayer. We need to be mobilized and vocal about standing up for them at this pivotal moment. And we're just so, I'm very happy. I think everybody at Open Doors understands this is a key moment. There are hinges of history where people step up and this conversation gets started. I don't know what's going to happen today here in Singapore, but I can tell you that it's important that we have this conversation. It's important that Christians and the rights and freedoms of Christians in that country are part of the discussion.
You report that the population there in North Korea, about 25 million, there are roughly 300,000 Christians. And some estimates range from 50,000 to 120,000 are in prison camps in North Korea simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right. I mean, 300,000 is our baseline number. It could be as many as 500,000 Christians there. And as you said, a wide range of number of folks that could be in labor camps. There's several of them. We have a little map of where these labor camps are on our website. Then you could pray for the believers in these particular camps. But we just don't know. But what we do know, this is what's so fascinating about North Korea, even what we do know from our on-the-ground grassroots research tells us it's, number one, the most difficult place to be a follower of Jesus.
I mean, you go to prison for having a Bible. There's been cases where people have been sent away to these prison camps for actually just owning a Bible.
You could be killed for it, Tony. I mean, you can go to prison for owning a Bible. If you're suspected of talking about Jesus, they have these neighborhood watches where people get more food, more resources. If they narc out one of their neighbors using a sort of a rough term there, that's what's happening. It's an old school communistic system. It's really post communism, but it's mixed in with this cult of worshiping Kim Jong Un and
leader,
his forefathers.
Right.
Yeah,
this could be so significant, and I'm glad you're in Singapore there, where this meeting is taking place, because this is the first time that an American president has met with a leader of North Korea, and if in fact that all of these dynamics bring about a resolution to where we see the denuclearization of North Korea, but also as the administration has committed to address these human rights abuses, this could have a domino effect around the world if we see one of the most repressive regimes come to an understanding that this is not acceptable. That could have implications elsewhere for the persecuted church.
It absolutely could. And we've seen shifts in over the course of history where things can get better through the decisions of political leaders. That's why you and what you do is so important. And I think this can be one of those. We don't know. That's why we have to be thoughtful about it. That's why we have to be speaking out about it. That's why we also have to be in prayer about it. Part of the reason I'm here is obviously to raise awareness. I don't want people to forget that Christians are a significant part of this population and part of this discussion. But I'm also having a prayer vigil today during the summit so that every Christian knows to pray today. Pray this evening wherever you're at for North Korean believers, because this is a spiritual battle as well.
Very quickly, we're up against a break, but give us three particular prayer points that people can be praying about tonight.
I think we need to pray for Kim Jong-un. He is the decision maker here and his people. We need to pray for President Trump, and we need to pray for those people who are in labor camps right now for their faith in North Korea.
All right, Dr. David Curry, thank you so much for joining us, for getting up early there in Singapore. And we will be following this, obviously, very, very closely. And again, thanks for all the work you do at Open Doors USA.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. David Curry, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and do be praying tonight. In fact, I'll have more information. We'll be doing a prayer conference call later this evening that you can join if you'd like. Coming up next, Jonathan Keller with the California Family Council joins us to talk about a hearing tomorrow before the Senate committee there in California that could outlaw material that would encourage people to change their chosen sexual orientation. That's next. Don't go away.
Hello. Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Hey, by the way, tomorrow, primary elections in a handful of states, Maine, Nevada, North Dakota, South Carolina, Virginia. If you live in those states, you've got primary elections coming up. This is where you know, some people say, I don't want to get involved in that. Just wait for the general election. This is where you really have the choice. And you really get two bites at the apple. You go out and you support the candidate that you are most enthusiastic and supportive of, and then, you know, hopefully you win. And then you get to advance them to the general election. If not, you get a second chance at another candidate. You can work on them, hopefully make them better. But anyway, again, if you're in Maine, Nevada, North Dakota, South Carolina, Virginia, know what is on the ballot or who's on the ballot. And if you don't, we've got a resource available for you. You can go to the primary voter guide that we've got. Just go to tonyperkins.com. You should be able to get that information. Or FRC Action. We also have that information there. Okay. California Family Policy Council, in partnership with Equipped to Love, Capital Resource Institute, and Faith in Public Policy, will be hosting a day of action on the west steps of the California State Capitol tomorrow, to fight for the freedom of all Californians to live out their faith and pursue the counseling of their choice. With us now is California Family Council CEO Jonathan Keller. Jonathan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Always great to be with you and your listeners.
All right. This thing is still alive there in the Senate, AB 2943, which in essence would make it illegal for material counseling that would help someone come out or change their chosen sexual orientation. That's still alive. And we're talking about adults, people who would want this counseling, who would want this help. They're not going to be able to get it in California. What do you hope to accomplish tomorrow?
Well, Tony, really the thing that's outrageous here is, as you said, this bill goes so far beyond anything that the LGBT movement has tried in other states. It is directed at adults, no matter how old you are, no matter what your situation is. Our hope tomorrow is really that the legislators would listen to the stories of dozens of former LGBT individuals who have actually come out of homosexuality, They have amazing stories of change, how the gospel of Jesus Christ changed their, not just their actions, but even their desires and their attractions. And what we want is for these legislators, these senators, especially on the Judiciary Committee in California, to listen to the voices of their constituents. Tony, you may remember 2 years ago was the attempted massacre. There was almost 50 people that were killed at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. Well, two individuals that were victims in that shooting but survived are actually now brothers in Christ, and they are with us tomorrow on the steps of the Capitol, and they're going to be sharing their stories of how not only did they survive this shooting, but God has actually transformed their hearts and lives, and they're standing for the rights of people in California and around the country to freely choose to live what brings true happiness and joy. So our hope is that the legislators tomorrow would see change is real and our faith is not fraud.
So this, so people understand, this law would make it illegal for ministries, counselors, material that would help someone come out of a chosen lifestyle. Now, it doesn't prevent them from having material going into that lifestyle, only coming out of that lifestyle, which is the two people you just mentioned, coming out, going back into their natural, their born gender, born sexual orientation. So it's a one-way prohibition, which is, I mean, it so clearly exposes what is happening here. Are people seeing this?
Well, I think so, Tony. I hope so. And I hate to put it this way, you know, to use such an analogy, but really in a lot of ways what this honestly reminds me of is what the situation is like for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in Muslim countries. You know, they are told if you're a Christian and you would like to convert to Islam, that's all well and good. The government of Saudi Arabia or Iran or somewhere will happily support that conversion. But if you're born in a Muslim family and you want to decide to live as a Christian, you want to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, well, you know, that could get you either expelled from the country, maybe imprisoned, maybe even killed. Again, fortunately, this government of California is not trying to imprison Christians yet, but that's really what's at stake here. You have the government of California saying you don't get to choose how to live your life and your sexuality the way you want. You have to go what we decide, what the quote-unquote science says about sexuality and gender identity.
It's just, it's mind-boggling to even think what they're doing is putting in place a prohibition for adults to even choose this type of help if they want it. This is not, we're not talking about stuff being forced on people. We're saying you can't have this if you want it. It's like a one-way.
That's
Jonathan,
right.
As always, great to have you on. Appreciate what you're doing, and we will we'll direct people to you in what so they can find out more about tomorrow's event on the website.
Thanks,
so Jonathan,
Tony.
Thanks so much. All right, Jonathan Keller with the California Family Council. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're in California and you can make it, join them in this effort tomorrow. Okay, as I mentioned, tonight we're going to be doing a prayer initiative to support the president in his meeting with Kim Jong-un. We're going to be talking about that coming up next with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, former president of Southern Baptist Convention, joins us from Dallas, where Baptists are meeting this week. That's next here on Washington Watch and your phone calls. So don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Just a moment, we're going to go to the phone lines. That number, 866-372-7234. But first, as I mentioned earlier at the top of the program, I was on at the White House earlier today, met with the Vice President and discussing a number of things. One of the things he mentioned as we were talking about the President's historic meeting with Kim Jong-un this evening, it's U.S. time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, he said, and it would be great to have Christians praying for the president as he goes into this meeting. And so much is at stake in this meeting for people around the world, especially the Christians, as we were just talking about, in North Korea, most persecuted place on the planet when it comes to Christians right now. Joining me now is Dr. Ronnie Floyd. He is the former president of Southern Baptist Convention, senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. He is actually in Dallas, Texas right now for the annual meeting of the Southern Baptists, but he's also the president of the National Day of Prayer. And so I've asked him to join me this afternoon to talk about the significance of Americans praying right now for what the president is undertaking in Singapore. Dr. Floyd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Always great to be with you.
Well, I know you believe in the power of prayer, or else you would not have taken on the additional responsibility of heading up the National Day of Prayer. How significant do you think this moment in time is with what we see unfolding internationally?
Well, Tony, I've been involved with all kinds of groups really trying to pray for the Korea situation, the North Korea situation, even back to last Labor Day when the first threat was made by North Korea around that time of the year. And, you know, groups immediately started doing this. And we at the National Day of Prayer put out the three prayer points every month that I personally design and send out. And thousands of people have been calling out to God about the North Korea situation for several months. And so we even believe at the happening of this summit and the desire ultimately of the president and the administration is really moving forward in an answer to prayer. But tonight is so critical because, as you know, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, President Donald Trump will meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which is an unprecedented meeting, a historic opportunity for peace, not only in that part of the world, but prayerfully will lead to peace across the entire world.
I mean, you think about this, we see a repressive regime that could be brought to respecting human rights, and I'm not going to be, you know, overly optimistic here. I mean, it's obviously they have a long way to go, but
sure.
Through a peaceful means. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about having to invade a country. We're not talking about war. We're talking about a peaceful resolution. And so if there was ever a time that Christians should be praying, we should always be praying. But as you pointed out, I believe this summit is the result of prayer. And so we shouldn't let up. We should press in even further. And so tonight, be praying for the presence of God to superintend this summit. Pray for a spirit of truth to prevail in the communication between these two national leaders. And specifically for the president, I think a supernatural wisdom and discernment for President Trump.
That's right. Now, and that's key, is the supernatural wisdom that only God gives in moments like that for the president, for the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And, you know, the Bible talks in the book of Proverbs how even God determines the channels within a man's heart. It's a leader of a nation. And I really pray that even sovereign God will get involved in the situation with the North Korean leader and really move him to where he wants that kind of thing. And so we need to really be calling out his name to God as well. And, you know, you mentioned the whole issue of persecution in that country. And you of all people, you know human rights have been completely violated in that country. You know it's one of the top, if not the top, country of the world in relationship to persecuted Christians and the suffering. That we just pray that none of that's forgotten in these peace talks, that America is a nation that stands for the rights of every person in this country. And we need North Korea to do everything they can to take that path for the future. And wouldn't it be amazing, Tony, if God's people really called out to God and God prevailed with an answer where true peace would happen in the Korea Peninsula, for families to be reunited and for this conflict to move toward closure and end. I mean, this would be a historic moment for the country, but I think a great glory to God and for the people of God if we could see the Lord do this amazing, amazing thing. And we don't need to be bashful about calling out to God for it. He wants us to pray for our nation.
Well, I know your time is short because you're in, as I mentioned, in Dallas at the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. You've got several commitments. I appreciate you joining us. But before you depart, would you mind leading us in that prayer?
Oh,
would you pray for the president for this meeting tonight?
I just want to thank you, Tony, and thank the Washington Watch Family Research Council for giving an opportunity toward this. And so now, wherever you may be, driving down the road or in your kitchen or wherever you're listening today, just pause where you can. Obviously, just keep driving and pray while you drive. Father, I ask in the name above all names, the name of Jesus today, that you would do what only God can do. We believe tonight is really an answer to prayer for us even to be at this moment. And God, we don't know where this is ultimately going. And while we look to the leaders of our nation, we look beyond them and look to you, the sovereign King, the Prince of Peace. And we ask you, Prince of Peace, would you intervene and bring peace in this situation? Pray that resolve would come. Pray that people who have had human rights violated, including the persecuted church in that country, God, we pray in the name above all names, the name of Jesus, that you would step in and save the lives of so many who have been brought through tough times. And I pray that we will see the ceasing of this and the ceasing of threats to the entire world, including the United States. And God, we ask today that you would give what Tony mentioned a moment ago, that supernatural wisdom to President Donald Trump, to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, to the staff teams of those men, and also, Lord, even to the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. We pray that, God, you would intervene and do what only you could do. Turn all hearts to peace and resolve. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Floyd. I appreciate you taking time to join us, and thank you for leading us in prayer.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the National Day of Prayer, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. By the way, there will be a prayer conference call tonight beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern time. If you'd like to join us, write this number down, 515-604-9990. All right, 515-604-9990. I'll have that posted on my website. I'll try to get up there, tonyperkins.com. There's an access code. You'll need the access code. Let me give that to you. It's 130817#. If you'd like to join that call tonight, again, I'll have that up a little bit later. So let's let me just say, from a standpoint, in the last 10 years, as we've talked about the persecution of religious minorities, Christians in particular, but other religious minorities, the president is taking it right to the heart of the persecution. Now, there are big issues here. I mean, there's the threat, national security threat from the nuclear program that North Korea is pursuing. But the president, and this is not lost on the president, he's done this with other world leaders, even in where he's been criticized, Nigeria and other places, where he has called them to task on how they are treating their people. That's going to be happening tonight. This will have ramifications that go far and wide. And so we need to be praying for this president as he enters into this discussion with Kim Jong-un. All right, we got time for a few phone calls here. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Columbus, Mississippi, where Jim is on the line. Jim, welcome to Washington Watch.
For your information, that was the most terrible distortion as I was trying to listen, and I'm sure it's something technical of some order, but I could not make out hardly any of the conversation. Anyway, we're up close to the 4th of July. The 4th of July has, you know, become about fireworks and cooking hot dogs and so forth. And what I would really like to see and hear are some veneration by Christian talking heads on the language of the Declaration as it relates to our circumstances with the left. They are dragging us so far off the reservation. And the first sentence of the Declaration basically says, you know, there comes a time when you have to make a declaration of separation of those that you've had political connections with. And I just wonder, where is the line that we're going to draw with the left, and how far are we going to keep being drugged way off of our foundations?
Well, that's a really good point, Jim, and that's part of – and I agree with you. I think that – and we do this in our home, the 4th of July. We always we talk about what the 4th of July really is, quoting from oftentimes one of the founders and discussing – those important issues and aspects of the 4th of July and what it really means. I also would say this. We do something else at the Family Research Council. The first Sunday, usually around the 4th, it'll be the 1st of July, is what we have a call to fall. And we're calling on, we've done this for over a decade now, calling on the church, call it call to fall, to fall on their knees. 2 Chronicles 7:14, to humble ourselves, to seek the face of God, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and receive his healing upon our land. And so I think it starts with a separation. It is a separation from what we have been identified with as departing from the ways of God. And that begins with us, if my people who are called by my name. And I think it spreads out. I think we need to advocate for truth. We need to educate. We need to teach our children. That's why I think it's so important to take these opportunities to teach our kids what history really is for our country, and show them and walk with them. It's critical, and this is a great opportunity to do that. But let me just encourage churches, pastors out there, participate in the Call to Fall. You can find out more, calltofall.org. That's C-A-L-L, call to, the number two, fall, F-A-L-L, call to fall. I think we may also have a link at tonyperkins.com, but participate in that. All right, very quickly, let's go to Pete in South Carolina. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, great show, and thanks for taking my call. Apropos of the earlier call about the Declaration of Independence, I'm going to call Family Research Council tomorrow, maybe talk to somebody there. I've memorized the entire Declaration. I've recited it out loud in full from memory over 1,200 times. I'm in year number 7 of doing a presentation about that. And God is referenced 4 times in the Declaration, as you know. And these guys actually asked for God's help to start this country. That should be taught in school. So I started an organization called Teach Our Christian Heritage. Wouldn't it be wonderful as history lessons if schools around the country would have quotes written on the walls of the schools in big areas prominently? In God We Trust, number one, but also quotes from the founding fathers, such as George Washington, who said when he was talking to the Delaware Indian chiefs in 1779, he said, what students would learn in American schools above all is the religion of Jesus Christ. George right. Washington said that. That quote should be on the walls of schools. And right. if it were, we'd yeah. have less school shootings.
I could not agree with you more, Pete. Pete, email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. We're up against a hard break here at the end of the program, but love to hear more about that because I agree with you. When I was in the legislature a number of years ago, I actually authored the American History Preservation Act that allowed teachers to put quotes on the walls of the classroom that had religious content. They could not be forced to censor those, anything that was in the congressional record, anything that had been spoken by one of the founding fathers. And I also attempted to get the preamble to the Declaration, something that would be recited in our schools. That did not succeed. But you're absolutely correct. We need to teach these things to our children. They're not taught anymore. And what we think we were has more of an impact on who we will become than who we really are. Think about that. All right, folks, thanks for joining us. I hope you'll return with us tomorrow. We'll be talking more about this historic summit. Be praying. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.